The congregation this morning, we hope to deliver a preparatory sermon. Because next week, the Lord willing, we hope to administer the Lord's Supper in the midst of the congregation. Now, what's a preparatory sermon about? Well, the preparation is in there. We need to know how to attend. I'm speaking about God's people, that they may feel prepared by the Lord, be ready to attend the Lord's supper table, that it may be alive in their hearts, that there might be a longing to prepare God's people. But also to examine our own hearts. May we attend? We may be members in good standing, but is there grace in the heart? Is it common grace? Is it saving grace? Is it a temporary faith? Is it a saving faith? We need to know, to examine our own hearts. And only the Lord knows the heart. So let us ask during the service, and I'm preaching, Lord, open it for myself. May I know if I may attend and prepare my heart to attend in a God-fearing way. Now the text for this morning's our sermon is from the Acts of the Apostles, especially verse 37. Not only verse 37, but mainly verse 37. Acts 8, verse 37. And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So far. The theme for this morning's our sermon is the gospel for the eunuch. The gospel for the eunuch. Three thoughts. In the first place, the gospel brought to him, because he was traveling and the Lord brought a servant to him and the Lord brought the gospel to him. Secondly, the gospel explained to him. You know, Philip was sitting next to him in his chair and explained to him Isaiah 53. And in the third place, the gospel believed by him. So the gospel for the eunuch. The gospel brought to him. The gospel explained to him. And the gospel believed by him. Congregation, young people, some in the congregation of Israel were murmuring. Especially some ladies, widow ladies. They say, it's not fair. We are from a Grecian background. And Jewish widows are better looked after than us. It's not fair. And they came to the apostles. And they were open about it. And the apostles didn't say, well, you know, you're not listening to you. No, they listened. They listened to the Grecian widows who feel neglected in the daily ministrations. And the consistory thought about what all those ladies had said to them. They thought it through with the help of the Lord. And they came with a new idea, led by the Holy Spirit, to have deacons in the midst. That they as apostles would preach the word and pray and that they would take care of the daily ministration. So that's why we find that in the previous chapter, chapter 6, verse 5, and the same pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Ghost, and Philip. And Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, and the proselyte of Antioch. All Grecian names. And Philip was one of them. Philip was called to be deacon in the church of the Jewish people. And congregation, this Philip was not only deacon, but this Philip was also a minister. And he could also baptize. He was also an evangelist. Things were kind of different those days yet. Now deacons do not preach. Now deacons do not read services. But those days, Stephen and Philip were not only deacons, they were also preaching. And after the persecution started with Stephen, the congregation was scattered abroad in Israel and many fled to Samaria. And also Philip followed them. You may want to read the beginning of our chapter, in verse 4. Therefore they were scattered abroad, went everywhere preaching the word. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. So Philip went to Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles that he did. For unclean spirits crying with a loud voice came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies, and were lame, were healed. And it was great joy in that city. Let me summarize this. We are in Samaria because the people were fleeing Jerusalem, and that Philip was their minister, and it went well. He was a blessing in that congregation. It was great joy in that congregation, holy spiritual joy among the people. They were happy with their minister. And then the congregation, the Lord called him away. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise, go to the south, to the way to go down from Jerusalem to Gaza, which is Nazareth. He was at home in the congregation of Samaria. The Lord blessed his labors. He felt at home, and the Lord said, you have to leave. And he did not know for how long. And the Lord said, by the angel, you have to leave, and you have to go to Jerusalem, and then south of Jerusalem, or actually a little bit more west, to the road to Gaza. You have to go to that desert place. There's nobody there. Philip knew. He had to go to an unknown rural area. From his congregation, where he had been a blessing, the Lord said, leave, go somewhere else. Go to the south, the way to go down from Jerusalem to Gaza, which is desert. There's nobody there. What do you think? What do you think Philip has thought? It doesn't make any sense to me. I'm happy in Samaria. I'm preaching the word of God. The Lord gives me the power to do miracles. The Lord gives great joy in this city. Why would I have to leave and go to close to Gaza? To a desert place. Did he not come unto the Lord and say, Lord, why? And I don't want to. And does it make any sense to me? No, he went. I was listening to some stories I heard about your congregation, how it all started with Mr. Hroon, Mr. Petron. Some of those people, those have had a feeling kind of, you know, what's the sense of going to New Zealand? To a rural area? To a place that's desert? I mean, deserted, so few people? And then why? And why not staying in Holland? And why not being a blessing there? Why do we have to leave and go so far? But we read in verse 27, and he arose and went. He had no choice. He made a choice. He followed the Lord like Abraham. The Lord said to Abraham, leave your city, leave Ur of the Chaldeans, go out of the place to a land that I will point out to you. And he left. And also the same way, Philip, he left. He rose and went. So we see him there walking in the desert place. Probably at noon, the hottest time of the day. Nobody there. What's the sense of being here? And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia. There's someone traveling. Who is that? A man of Ethiopia, that's what's now Sudan. Ethiopia was way bigger than it is now. Sudan, we would say. And go towards the south and to the way that go down from Jerusalem to Gaza. He rose, went, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch. A eunuch of great authority. Now we do not exactly know what the eunuch is. Maybe he was emasculated. Maybe he is just a court official. What we know is this. Let me say it in a simple way for the children. He was the minister of finances of Candace. The protector of the queen as well. Her chamberlain. And in his spare time, he wanted to go to Jerusalem. She had heard of the God of Israel. And it was something that attracted him. He had a hunger to know about the God of Israel. He knew so little about him, but he had a hunger for God. Who is he? He respected him. He had heard about him. I don't know how he had heard about him, but he said, I want to know. Maybe he was related to the Queen of Sheba years before that. Anyway, he wanted to know and he went. He took time off. Although he was a very busy man. Very rich man. But was yet an emptiness. Although he had a high court position. He was not satisfied. He had something in his heart like Psalm 42. Like a heart, like a deer is panting for the water brooks. So panted my soul after thee, O God. He was seeking. Are you? Are there any young people? All the ones seeking? And there is something, I don't have it. I am missing something. I'm missing God. I have such a void in my heart. I cannot change it myself. And this man, he may have been a God-fearing one. Not Jewish by birth, not circumcised, not a proselyte, but sympathizing with the people of Israel. And he went to Jerusalem. Hopefully he found peace for his soul and closeness to God. Because there was something he could not really explain, but it was missing. He was missing God. And he could not save himself. He could not come close to God himself. He must have tried many things and it didn't work. So he went to Jerusalem. He went to the temple. He has been in the court of the Gentiles probably. And still did not have it. And he's going home now. He did not find it. He's going home. But he purchased something. He purchased a scroll of the Bible. A piece of the Bible. Had it on his lap. He rolled it open. He was reading it. In a Greek translation of the Old Testament. In the Septuagint translation. And he was reading from Isaiah. And he did not understand it. But he did not close the book. He had to understand it. He wanted to know. He did not hover over it. He wanted to dig into it. He wanted to know what the Bible said. And he was reading. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation, for his life is taken from the earth? He did not understand it. But he did not give up. He kept searching and studying and looking and looking, reading it over and over. He had to know what it said here in God's word. How is it with you? Read a piece of the Bible. that you do not understand. Just quickly go to the next page. How do you say, no, I want to understand what it means. It's the word of the living God. You know, this Gentile is reading the Bible. He is stuck. He does not understand it. But he does not close the book. He is persistent. He is seeking because God's hand is drawing him in. But although he does not know that, he seeks himself, the living God, and he cannot find. Some of you may have given up. Some of the young people and the young friends may say, no, I still read the Bible, but before I go to bed, I open my little Bible, but I just don't get it. And I'm so discouraged, I'm ready to give up. It's so difficult, that language of our translation, our Bible. Why would I even continue? That's only for God's people. It's not for me. I just don't get it. And this man, he did not understand it either. He wanted to know. Because there was a hunger for God. And he knew that he was missing God. It was the knowledge of his misery, right? The knowledge of his misery was the thirst, the hunger for God. He could not quench himself. He could not feed himself. He didn't know what to do and where to turn. He came all the way from Ethiopia. He went back again. This is the point, probably, I would say almost crying, almost to the point of desperation. Is it not for me then? So I can go home then? And congregation, the Lord saw Philip in Samaria. And the Lord saw this man traveling, coming back from Jerusalem. And the Lord said, Philip, you go to that man. You go to that place. And you will meet up with him in God's providence. The Lord already had in mind to teach him. Because although he was going home, back to Sudan, back to Ethiopia, the Lord had in mind to answer his prayers, to reward him his seeking. The Lord knows that people. God love that people. So the Spirit said, go near, join thyself to his chariot. And Philip did. And ran hither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah. He was reading out loud. He was reading out loud because he heard him. He did not only see him reading the Bible, he heard him reading the Bible. That's what they usually did those days. Reading it out loud. It was common, very, very common, out loud. Not a bad idea, right? If you cannot concentrate so well, if you just are distracted, read out loud. May I recommend to read the Bible out loud for yourself? If you have a hard time understanding it, just go slow and read out loud. And here in the desert place, the hottest time of the day. Philip is there. He had left his congregation, Samaria. And he is coming close to this chariot. And he hears in the middle of nowhere, someone reading the Bible. How is that possible? Go near. So he started running. The chariot was probably pulled by oxen or so. Not going too fast. He could just stay next to the wagon. And he has the question. Understandest thou what thou readest? The Lord brought them together. How encouraging that the Lord hears and that the Lord speaks to the angel, by the angel of the Lord, to him, to servant of the Lord, to bring the gospel message to that place, to that desert place. First read the angel, right? The angel of the Lord spake, and later on it says, the Spirit Then the Spirit of the Lord said to Philip, go near, join thyself to the chariot. Philip ran, heard him read, understandest thou what thou readest? Brings to the second thought. The gospel explained. Congregation, Philip is listening. He ran, he's listening. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shear, so he opened up his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment, who shall declare his generation, for his life is taken away from the earth. He. And the eunuch answered Philip, I pray thee, please, I beseech you, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Who is he talking about? He was led as a sheep to the slaughter. As a lamb dumb before the shearer, his shearer, he opened not his mouth. Who is he talking about? And then Philip received the opportunity to explain those texts from Isaiah, and he did. And Philip opened his mouth. If you read a sentence like this, that means you better listen. Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. So he opened his mouth. He began with that scripture. He did not just come with a general message. No, he said, let me explain to you those verses you have just read from Isaiah 53. And he started preaching from the Bible. Not just stories, not just some counseling, not some psychology, not some entertaining words. No, he only had expository preaching just from the Bible. He opened his mouth, he began at the same scripture. He said to him, I would like to read, to explain this part of the Bible to you. And he preached unto him Jesus. Now, I don't know exactly what he said, but very close to this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter. And as a lamb dumb before the shearer, he explained about that sheep, who that sheep was, who that lamb was. Now, you probably know better what sheep are and lambs are than I do, right? You see so many of them in New Zealand. A lamb, an innocent lamb. That lamb exemplifying the Lord Jesus with his innocence. No threat to anyone. He had no sin. He knew no sin. The Lord Jesus had no experience whatsoever with sin himself. He never gave in to any temptation of the devil. He did not know what sin was. He knew no sin. That beloved Lord Jesus Christ, he was always obedient to his parents. He never lied. He never was disrespectful. He was never worldly. He never forgot about praying. He was very, very close to God's holy word himself. He was the Lamb of God, my beloved Son, whom I am well pleased, the Lord Jesus. And the man listening, because Philip by now was sitting next to him on the chariot, and he said, you know who this is? What is this? The sheep dumb before the shearer? It's the Lord Jesus. Have you heard of him? And that lamb is? That's the Son of God. And he preached unto him, Jesus. Because he knew something about God. He knew something about sin. He knew something about there's no solution from my side. He did not know it anymore. He did not find it in Jerusalem. And now Philip said, but I know the solution to this for you. And he preached unto him Jesus. Jesus. You know what Jesus means? Two syllables, right? Jesus. Jesus. The first syllable indicating Jehovah, the Lord, the faithful one, the unchangeable one. That's the first syllable. The unchangeable Jehovah, the I am that I am. And the second syllable, from to rescue, to deliver, to take away out of the dangers, to help. So the Lord saves. And that's what he needed. And he preached unto him, Jesus. But that lamb, that sheep, so mute and so dumb for its ears, so willing, had to be slain. You know this. Oh. There's not, I'm not saying anything new to you, right? You knew the Lord Jesus was crucified, right? But this man on the chariot, this eunuch, the first time he heard about it. He had no idea about this. And that's why he said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself? Does he say, I am that lamb? Someone else? I have no idea. And the eunuch and Philip opened his mouth and began at that same scripture. And he preached the Lord Jesus, his willingness to obey the law, his willingness to come to this sin-cursed world, his willingness to save a sinful people for free. The willingness because he loved his father. The willingness because he loved them he had given, the Lord had given him from eternity. Because he had compassion in his heart. There was a willingness in his heart to suffer. And he said to the disciples that he was willing. That he was willing to give them himself over in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he said to the people capturing him that he was the one. They could take him. And the disciples fled. So I don't know how it is with you. Maybe you have heard this years and years ago already. You probably do. I know you do. There's nothing new. But maybe someone here tonight, this morning, is stuck. Someone is trying to do his best. Read the Bible and pray and live without sin and do your best and try to find peace in your heart, try to find God. And you get so discouraged. You get so disappointed. You notice it. I can't pray as I should. Sometimes a little bit warmer than there, but often not. Sometimes the Bible opens, but often not. And if you would know what's still in my heart, and my thoughts, and my imagination, and my fantasies, and my worldliness, and my greediness, and my materialism, and if you would know. And you get so discouraged, I don't think I can ever be converted. And no peace. And in a way you would say, I just let go. It's not for me anyway. At the same time, you just keep reading the Bible. But as if it closes, what is this about? And you have heard of the Lord Jesus, but you kind of bypass him. You try to bypass Christ Jesus. You try to be reconciled to God without him. Is that how it is? That this man, this eunuch, is trying to find peace for himself without the Lord Jesus. And it didn't work. That's why he went back. Maybe that's you. I'll tell you something. He said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. There is no other way than the Lord Jesus Christ. And he had to be slain. He had to be killed as a sacrifice for sin. And someone had to pay the price. You cannot pay the price, my friend. You're trying. You cannot. I would say, give up that part. That you will ever, ever pay the price. It's hopeless from your side. It's impossible, not only difficult. It's impossible to please God yourself. Just stop even trying. It's only in him. And he preached unto him Jesus. Next week we hope to read a form. Beautiful form. One of those sentences I like. Time and again, I like them again. That we are in the midst of death and seek our salvation outside of ourselves in another. I like that. I remember the first time hearing that. And since the time I've heard it many more times. A precious expression. In the midst of death. Do you know what it is? Are you good? Are you Christian? Are you praying well? Are you doing your best? Or have you come to your wit's end? I'm in the midst of death. There's no expectation whatsoever of me. And now to look outside of yourself. Maybe you have to look inside yourself long enough now. Now outside of self. But another. Here he is. And he preached unto him Jesus. And he preached about led as a sheep to the slaughter. See him going? Willing? Like a lamb dumb before his shearer, he opened not his mouth. He did not comment. He did not rebel. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. He humbled himself. He was crucified. Who shall declare his generation, his offspring? He is the Son of God who can express that, for his life is taken from the earth. His life is taken from the earth. Of whom does the prophet say this? Of himself? That his life was taken away? No, Philip said. He did not talk about himself. He talked about Jesus. His life was taken away. So that, did he say this? That's what he meant. He said to the eunuch, so that your life does not need to be taken away. Because God could take away your life. God could condemn you forever. But your life is not taken. His life was taken. That's the Lord's Supper next week. His life was taken. And he gave it himself as a lamb, willing to be slain, to be brought to the slaughterhouse. So next week, Sunday, there's room at the table here for them that are in the midst of death and seek their salvation outside of themselves and another, the Lord Jesus Christ. And they preach unto him, Jesus. That's the only solution. It's the only name given among men by whom we must be saved. There is no other name. There's no other salvation but in him. See those two men on the chariot? One rich and wealthy and educated. The eunuch, his Greek is so educated you can even notice that commentaries say. And then that man in a simple garb, and he's sitting next to him. But you know, he respected him. He was God's servant, and the Lord blessed his words, and something happened. He was just drinking it in. He heard for the first time that salvation in Jesus was so new to him. I hope it may be new to you as well, or new again, made new by renewal. The gospel explained to him. This simple man in his simple garb, preaching the word of God to to a dignitary, to a minister of finance. Quite touching. And the Lord's will. So Philip had to leave Samaria, where he felt home and where the Lord was blessing his labors. The Lord said, you go there. And he was a blessing to this single man here on his chariot, explaining the word of the living God. And that's so this morning in the same way. Maybe that's why I had to come from Canada. Because someone knew it and did not know it. Has heard it, never heard it. It is only salvation in the Lord Jesus. That you may give up about yourself and just say, Lord, I will never qualify. I'll never qualify. I'll never have it. Without money, you can be saved. Without price. For free. Because He pays the price. And there's nothing from our side. The gospel brought to Him. The gospel explained to Him. The gospel believed by Him. Our third thought. First we sing. Saw the 384. O Lord, my inmost heart and thought, thy searching eye does see. Wherever I rest, wherever I go, my ways are known to thee. 384. And he preached unto him, Jesus, I do not know for how long. He doesn't say. I don't know the details. But what I know is this. This man listened. And the Lord had given him ears to hear. Well, the Spirit said to the churches, you know, drinking it in. It was a hungry soul. And the Lord gave him to eat. It was a thirsty land. It was just the rain upon a thirsty land. It did something to him. The Lord solved it for him. He found the Savior. He found God. He found peace for his heart. This was the solution he had been looking for. And as they went on their way, sounds kind of took a while. And as they went on their way, they came into a certain water. And the eunuch said, see, he is water. What does hinder me to be baptized? I would love to be baptized. He wasn't baptized as a child. And he has heard about baptism from the Christians, or maybe from the proselytes. He must have heard something about it maybe from Philip himself. And he said, what hinders me? I have such a longing to be baptized. Compare that to someone saying, what hinders me to sit at a table? May I now also sit at a table? I have such a longing to sit there. But am I allowed? What hinders me? To have it confirmed. To have that seal of the Lord upon it. What hinders me? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. That's the answer. The question was, may I attend the Lord's Supper next week? If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. If you believe in that Lord Jesus Christ with all your heart, you may. If your question is, what hinders me? Nothing needs to hinder you if you would only believe in that Lord Jesus with all your heart. But what is that? Believing in Him. Well, can you trust someone you never met before? Can you trust someone you don't know? I can. If they present the strings to me, say, you have to trust him, you say, that's easier said than done. But I don't know him. I can't force that. But this man, he has heard about him. The eunuch has heard about the Lord Jesus. He preached him Jesus, and when he was listening, he began to completely trust him. He thought, this is him. He was revealed unto him, to his heart, under the preaching of Philip. He heard of him. He began to become familiar with him. He felt drawn to him. And he trusted him. Then thou believest with all thine heart. Unless that's not forced. Suppose two young people want to marry. And she's asking him, now, do you love me with all your heart? And he would say, I do my best. How would it come across? I don't think she is very happy if she hears that. You have to do your best for that? You better don't marry her then. Well, that's the same here. Believe is all done hard. You say, well, I try. I do my best to believe. If you have to do your best for that, that's something else. But this man says, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, highly respecting, highly esteeming Him, trusting in Him, giving himself over to him, choosing him, laying the hands upon him like the high priest was laying the hands on the scapegoat with all my heart, yes, believing with all my heart, believing in nobody else, a Savior, only in Him, entirely in Him. See, congregation, I could ask, do you know something of your misery? Do you know something of your gratitude? But you know, it's a circle. And there's a center point in a circle. And the center point of the circle is this. Believest thou in the Son of God, in the Lord Jesus Christ, with all your heart. And now I know that's not always alive in the hearts of God's people. That is alive. It's so genuine. It's only in Him. And then He is precious. He's precious. Because of His name, because of what He did, because of His humiliation, because of His birth, because of His death, something else. He's so precious. He's dear to your heart. So now, has He become precious? I'm not asking whether He should be precious. No, has He become precious to you? That your heart went out to Him. That He was revealed to you in the Word. The Holy Spirit, you said, yes, that's Him. And He commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water. Because then at the north of Gaza is a wadi. A wadi is a river in the desert. And they both went there. And the eunuch, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. Probably by immersion. And underwater, came out of there again. And when they come up out of the water, what does it say? The Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, and the eunuch saw him no more. And he went on his way, rejoicing. Was that man happy? Was there peace in his heart? Do you know what that means? The Lord opens His Word. The Lord points you to the Savior. And all your concerns are all taken away. And you see the door opened for you. Not only for others, but for you. You're so elated. You can't believe it, what you hear, that there is salvation for me. Not only for God's people, but for a wretch like me. You rejoice. If you have never rejoiced that way, do not come to the Lord's Supper. If you don't know what this is about, that emptiness, that seeking, that desperation, you cannot find it yourself, that opening of the Bible, if you don't know what it is, do not attend to loss. Don't do your best to believe. Don't do your best to love. It needs to be genuine. Philip was found at Azotus, passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. The Lord had other work for him to do. See, congregation. Now I hope it's in the heart of many what hinders me. I would love to sit there. What hinders me to be baptized? May I receive that confirmation. May I receive that sacrament. What hinders me? Will you still say, something is hindering me? What hinders you? Does it hinder you that you cannot be as holy as you would love to? That does not need to hinder you. Does it hinder you that you're still so greedy and worldly? That does not need to hinder you. Do you see so many secret things in your heart? And seeds of sin germinating? That does not need to hinder you. But do you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ with all your heart? There's all your heart only in Him. There's nothing else but Him. That's the mark of grace. That's the mark. The best mark of grace is this. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Not saying, now I have Him, or I possess Him. No, whether you believe in Him. And Alexander Comrie, one of our forefathers, said, the best mark of grace is highly esteeming Jesus. So, that means that you know something of Him. It has become precious to your heart. So suitable. Exactly the one I'm in need of. So suitable. So precious. So necessary. If you don't know about those things, and yet attend the Lord's Supper, you eat and drink damnation to yourself. You are hardening your heart. It's not a good thing. It's not the unpardonable sin, no. But it's not good. And yet, denying the Master, that you know Him, not good either. That's the sin of the Apostle Peter. I do not know Him. He knew Him. And he said, I don't know Him. That's a sin. That brings darkness over the life of God's people. The gospel for the eunuch. The Lord brought it to him. The Lord explained it to him. And he believed in it. And he traveled on with joy. Going home to Sudan. Back to work. The Lord had blessed him. He had been seeking the Lord. And he found. So I would like to encourage you to seek Him. If you have not found Him, seek Him. Seek Him and live. And if you say, I just don't understand it, dwell on it. Use the means. Dig into it. Go deep into it. Do not let go. This man, he did not let go. He just kept going until he found. Do not let go until you find. Wrestle with Jacob. I do not let you go until thou wilt bless me. Amen. Almighty Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest the message we have tried to deliver with many shortcomings. And Thou knowest how we have listened and how we hope and pray, the Lord. Oh, come with Thy Holy Spirit and apply it. And then we especially think of those who are stuck in their sins and are wondering, is it for me? And are yet not ready to let go. Lord, may it please Thee to yet let them find the Savior in Thy word. And He preached unto them Jesus. May they believe in Him with all their heart. Maybe for the first time, maybe again. Remember us in this week of preparation, but also this Thy day. Bring us safely back home. Remember also in catechizing. Remember us also tonight in Thy house again, if it might please Thee. May we come up with a prayer in our hearts, O Lord, be merciful unto us sinners. In the forgiveness of our sins we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.